Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Did the reigning most valuable player in the National Football League,
the Rich Eisen Show,
have to drop some kids off at the pool?
That place called Pitchy Pitchy Woo Woo.
I was cramping. I ain't putting a Paul Pierce.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL analyst Brian Griese, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Coming up, ESPN NBA insider Brian Windhorst. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Kyle Brandt, great chat with him. A Good Morning Football. And the first of two ESPN analysts named Brian Griese was on our show in hour number one. Chris Brockman's news update beckons this hour, as does more of your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. Our poll question involves, I cannot believe the movie Dumb and Dumber is 26 years old today. You've got to be kidding me.
Crazy.
So we decided to ask, which is the best Farrelly Brothers movie of all time, Dumb and Dumber, Kingpin, and Something About Mary? Go on our poll question. Go to and answer the poll on our Twitter handle, at Rich Eisen Show. Our Instagram handle is the same as our Facebook handle as well, at Rich Eisen Show. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show is the way to catch up on anything that you might have missed right here on NBC Sports on Peacock or Sirius XM Channel 211 NBC Sports Audio or the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network that is highlighted by the mightier 1090 here in Southern California, which will have Notre Dame and Clemson, by the way, on their on their air. So anybody out here in Southern California hearing me, enjoy the game between Notre Dame and Clemson through your ear gate on the mightier 1090. We're looking forward to being part of that. And I say that with all sincerity as a partner, not because I'm into Notre Dame, as you know about that, as does Brian Kelly. So we turn our attention to the association, which 1 week from today will have already tipped. So we're excited about that. James Harden showed up yesterday. Lots of talk about the way James Harden showed up yesterday, not because of the fact that he was maskless in Las Vegas, Nevada, hanging out with Lil Baby, dropping off some honey buns and a honey bun. You could figure out which one I was referring to is food stuff or cash. The fact that he had to pass damn near a straight week of COVID tests before he was back in the building for his new coach. And then he showed up. Don, put it up. A lot of people talking about James Harden. I don't know if, you know, TV adds 10 pounds. I am personally, you know, part of that group that can attest that it does, in fact, add 10 pounds. There, it looks like TV's adding quite a bit. And then the story came out today on ESPN.com, and I read it on my app today from Tim McMahon, that Harden has essentially been doing whatever he damn well pleases in Houston the last few years. So to talk about that and so much more is one of our favorite guests, period, regardless of any of the sports that we talk about. From ESPN, one of the best NBA insiders in the game, Brian Windhorst, back on the show. How are you, Brian?
I'm okay, Rich. Thank you.
Yeah, no, thanks for joining. Let's jump in with both feet here about James Harden and your colleague Tim McMahon's story. You know, obviously it's somebody else who wrote it. Did anything that come out of that story leap out at you, surprise you, or something? This is industry known, what's been going on with Houston and Harden, Brian?
Well, Tim McMahon is a bulldog reporter who is completely fearless. So he reports these types of stories all the time, although this one is pretty special.
Right.
You know, it's not unusual, you know, star treatment in the NBA, especially over the last decade, for star players to dictate practice schedules, to dictate travel schedules. I mean, I remember when I first started covering the NBA, teams flew out after every game. If they were on the road, they traveled after every night. They didn't care if it was January in Los Angeles and your next stop was Salt Lake City, you traveled. And that is no longer the norm. And star players have driven that. You know, LeBron, back in his first go around in Cleveland, was getting changes in travel schedules. That is not unusual. There's certain star treatment that has certainly been paid to Kawhi Leonard by the LA Clippers. So Those stories really aren't surprising. I think what Tim is pointing out is that, you know, the Rockets really were not just giving James those special privileges, but really letting him dictate over major decisions that happened in the roster. And, you know, sometimes, you know, look, LeBron James wanted Anthony Davis. He pretty much was willing to, he made it pretty clear, it's willing to trade the whole team for Anthony Davis, which they did. It turned out pretty good. It's not unique to Harden, but it hasn't worked out for Harden. He, you know, while he has been spectacular over the last 6 or 7 years, he hasn't delivered at the highest level in the playoffs. And now the Rockets' situation is very badly eroded, and Harden is a root cause. And you have to assess the collateral damage from that. And it makes for a complicated situation. And more importantly, Rich, if you're out there and you want to trade for James Harden, you are seeing this story. You probably had a pretty good idea of this anyway.
Right.
But you are seeing this story. You are learning about this. You are looking at a guy who is not dedicated to his conditioning. You're looking at a guy who turned down a $100 million extension and then didn't dedicate to his conditioning, who is putting his team, his teammates and his coach in a horrible position. And he's basically saying, okay, come trade for me. It's pushing the limits of the star power of NBA pretty much to its nth degree.
Now you alluded to this, and you know it's just like in the NFL too. There really are no secrets. The chattiest bunch of people I've ever met is anybody involved in a sports organization. Everybody talks to each other. I'm sure you know most of this stuff was already known, although perhaps what Chris Paul and Harden were grinding gears about, or Russell Westbrook in a film room in the bubble, as Tim McMahon was talking about, you know, chafing over Harden time, I guess, and he wasn't there in time for a film session and demanding it start, and D'Antoni saying, if we started, we'll just start it again when James arrives, and so on and so forth. Those details might be first brought to light by this remarkable story by your colleague, Tim McMahon. But putting it all together, the thing that I took out of it is, like, would you, even knowing all this, go ahead and trade for a guy who, for whom his regimen would absolutely catch up with mid-30s, right? I mean, like, at some point there has to be a little bit of slowing of the in-between games frolic, right? I mean, wouldn't that be a concern for any team that might take on Harden here?
Yeah, especially because he's in a strange sort of tweener position with his contract. Now, we all remember a couple of years ago when Kawhi Leonard demanded a trade. He had 1 year left on his contract. The Spurs had next to no leverage, and the trade package that they got, I mean, they got a quality player in DeMar DeRozan, but it wasn't the same, you know, trade that you could have made if you were going to have him for a few years. So the Rockets are not taking pennies on the dollar for him because he's got multiple years. Having said that, it's 2 years. So if you're going to pay the going rate for an MVP-level player, which is probably all the good young players you've got on your roster, maybe your best player, depending on how the trade works, and potentially 2 or 3 first-round draft picks. If you're trading, you're mortgaging your future. Can you do that with a guy with 2 years left on his contract? Ideally, you'd like for him to extend his contract so that you know you have a window with him. So he's in that sort of zone. But you look at him and you look at the way he's treated his team, and now you have pause. He does have a player option in his contract. You could sort of split the difference and ask him to pick up that player option. But, you know, a contract extension for him would be paying him $50 million a year when he's in his mid-30s. That's a hard pill to accept right now. And so the Rockets have a high burden that they want to get him in a trade, which, understandably, he's been in the top 3 or 4 of the MVP race for the last half decade. And then you have teams that are going to be worried about that. I think it's a very complicated trade to pull off. I think they'll get it done.
You do.
But I think it's going to be a hard mix.
You do. You think they – so when does something like this get done?
Yeah, that's the question. We don't know. I mean, I think, you know, one of the things that's happened in the last few months, Rich, is that the 2021 free agent class, which at one time looked pretty damn promising, has essentially vaporized. Giannis will not be a part of it. There was I'm not saying that I thought LeBron or Anthony Davis were going to move, but there was a possibility that those guys were going to be free agents. They ended up both signing long. Paul George was going to potentially be available. He extended his contract. You know, and even sort of the second level star players, Drew Holiday is likely to extend in Milwaukee now that Giannis has. Rudy Gobert, who's an attractive player, an extension candidate. The only guy out there of an elite level, super elite level free agent is going to be Kawhi. He's not eligible for an extension, so he's going to be a free agent. Having said that, there's no indication he's leaving L.A. So if you're a team that was pinning itself on trying to get a star player in 2021, you reassess here and say, well, the star player we may be able to get is James Harden. So, and I do think there's two or three teams out there who could get into that game. Whether or not those teams are going to be on James Harden's list, and whether or not James Harden, if he got traded to a place off of his list, would show up and play like Kawhi Leonard showed up and played, that's a, an open question for sure.
All right. So Brian Windhorst, who are those teams? Are any of the teams that are on Harden's wish list a possibility, do you think?
I think the Miami Heat are an interesting possibility. Pat Riley has long been a guy who's believed in get me the highest level talent and then our system will make it work. The classic example of that was Shaquille O'Neal when he had kind of washed out his welcome in L.A. and they got him into a position where he was executing at a very high level. And they have the young players. The problem with that is they only have one draft pick they're currently allowed to trade, which is 2027. So it's hard for them to give the draft capital. But, you know, a young player like Tyler Hero being a centerpiece of a trade package might be interesting. You have the New York Knicks, who have, you know, a bunch of young players, all of their draft picks available to them. And if, you know, if they want to improve rapidly, that's a guy that they could maybe get. And then you have some sort of for farther shot teams, which would be maybe a team like the Cleveland Cavaliers, who has young players, has a bunch of has extra draft picks. I don't think that's where James Harden would want to be, but that's the type of team that could maybe make an offer that could get Houston interested. You know, and you could go farther down the list. But I do think that there will be teams that will make offers. When will they make them? You know, we have to see how things play out.
Brian Windhorst here on the Rich Eisen Show. When we had you on during the summer, and we were all looking over the steering wheel at the Giannis decision while we were while the bubble was wrapping up, you said that if Giannis doesn't sign for the Supermax, the NBA might as well just remove that that whole construct from the collective bargaining agreement, that it was created exactly for a player like this in a franchise like Milwaukee. He is now signed. So I'm assuming two things that I'd love to give you the floor on. One, the NBA is breathing a sigh of relief. And two, there are a bunch of teams that were hoping for Giannis to leave that are now on to plan B's long term. I'll give you the floor on who those teams are and what the NBA is thinking right now.
You know, I know that this sounds sort of like a little bit of a crazy statement, but Giannis signed that contract yesterday. You could make the case it's the biggest moment in the Bucks franchise since 1974 when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had Beef Wellington and then looked up at Wayne Embry, the general manager, and said, "Hey, I want you to trade me." He was he had won a title there. He had just lost Game 7 of the Finals and was the reigning MVP. They traded him to the Lakers some months later. The Bucks have not been back to the Finals since. And for a small market team with an NBA superstar, there is no more fragile relationship. Giannis leaving the Milwaukee Bucks potentially sets them back a decade or more, two decades or four decades. You just don't get players like this. And so for Giannis to make this commitment to give them a gift, and one of the reasons it's a gift is not just because he's staying with them, but Rich, he could have signed this exact same contract next summer. By doing it now and giving up his options in free agency, he removes an incredible amount of stress that was going to be on the Bucks this season. And it does give the Bucks the best chance to be successful this year. But he gave away something to it. He gave away his optionality. This is just not something we see in the modern NBA. We just haven't seen players do this. The Supermax has worked in a couple of occasions, specifically for Damian Lillard. That captured him in Portland. He stayed. It did not work for Kawhi Leonard. It did not work for Anthony Davis. And so, had this been the third one in a row where it didn't work, I do think it was going to be in peril. Now, if you watch the way teams operated in the offseason, you could definitely clearly see teams hedging. The Dallas Mavericks made moves to make sure that they could have cap space to sign Giannis. The Miami Heat signed a bunch of players to one-year contracts so that they could open up space. The Toronto Raptors gave this contract to Fred VanVleet that looked like a valley and mountain. It started off high, and the next year dips down to allow for more cap space to sign Giannis, and then goes back up. The New York Knicks didn't spend their money to make sure that they had a spot open for him. So now those teams do have to move on. It was kind of like a poker game. They had all sort of put their chips in the center to ante. Now they're going to have to look at their other options. And like I said, maybe it includes James Harden. Maybe they wait and see what happens with Bradley Beal, who is sort of the next star player teams are keeping an eye on. Maybe you go down and look farther down the list, but certainly Giannis committing was not seen as good news for a lot of teams, especially in those types of markets in the last 24 hours.
And since we haven't seen something like this, as you said, in the modern NBA, I'm assuming we should also, assuming that we should also not expect Giannis to force his way out because he doesn't like what's happening so early on in his contract, right? Like we shouldn't expect
that. Well, that's
a
reality that exists. You know, just like in the entertainment business, and we're seeing it with Harden, we've seen it over and over, a contract is over when the talent says it's over.
Nice.
Now, there is a one-year, it's built into the Supermax. You can't trade a player for 1 year, so... Mm-hmm. The Bucks are safe for this year. You're not allowed to trade him until next season. They are certainly not out of the pressure cooker. You know, if they don't continue to spend, and one of the things that they had to make clear to Giannis is, look, we're going to spend into the luxury tax, and it's going to be an expensive team because keeping Drew Holiday is probably going to cost them in the neighborhood of $30 million a year for a supporting player. They're already playing Chris Middleton $30 million a year, so they're going to be a very expensive team. But they definitely need to do that. But one of the reasons why this was such an incredible thing for them is even if Giannis comes to them in 2 years and is not happy with the way they're going and expresses an interest in leaving, he will be on a long-term contract and they will be able to get a king's reward for them. And, you know, they will not get a player like Giannis in all likelihood, but they will be able to protect their franchise. If he walks away next summer, you have a nuclear wasteland. So, you know, nobody wants to talk about that in Milwaukee right now, and they shouldn't be talking about that, but that was definitely part of the calculus when they talked about this deal.
Well, and again, I before I let you go here, Brian, this has just been great to just get lost in all of the contractual drama and free agency drama and, you know, James Harden and so on and so forth. I'm just thankful for Harden. He didn't apparently pick up COVID, you know, partying in Vegas. And I'm sure the NBA is not terribly thrilled to see, you know, one of their bold-faced named players on Instagram basically flouting everything like that on the advance of a season where there's no bubble. So what is the plan here for the NBA on actually to go through a season where they're a contact sport indoors? I mean, this is unprecedented what we're about to see, at least with the NFL and college football. They're outdoors. We're already getting a glimpse of how odd it looks with college basketball. How is the NBA approaching this, Ryan?
Well, let me give you the official answer, and then I'll give you sort of the reality answer.
Okay.
The official answer is that the NBA believes that it has very robust testing, way better testing than the NFL. It's easier because it's a smaller group.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that that they will be able, through testing, to protect. Now, the schedule is kind of preposterous to me because they are still committed to playing 30 interconference games, which means teams starting in January are going to be going on 6-game road trips, nice, in and out of 6 hotels, on and off their planes 6 times in 6 different cities. I mean, I don't see. But, you know, here's a realistic answer. There's probably going to be some discontinuing because the most important thing for the NBA was really to get started Christmas week. And even if they have some disruption in January or February before the vaccine can potentially arrive for NBA players, whenever that may be, whether that's February or March, we don't know. The back half of their season, the vaccine they're hoping is going to save it. Getting that start on Christmas week is extraordinarily important financially. That's why they forced it. Here's the other thing that nobody will talk about. The NBA has already announced over 100 players have tested positive for COVID, both in the restart last summer and in the start this year. In talking to agents and talking to trainers and talking to people with teams, that number could actually be two or three times higher in actuality. So many more players have had this and recovered from it and have some level of antibodies. There may already be a partial way to herd immunity in the league. Some people have said they think it's 40% or so.
Wow.
Now, I'm going to be very, very careful with the next thing that I say.
Sure.
Okay? Some players who have already had the virus may be operating with a level of freedom that surprises people, but because they've had the virus, they know that they're not as much in danger, and it may be surprising what is seen on social media, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the NBA is going to be tested here, because they have put down these laws and said no nightclubs, no restaurants that are not on our list, et cetera. But yet here we have James Harden, who we've just talked about how the Rockets like get away with all this stuff. Here's James Harden, obviously in nightclubs. Here's James Harden, obviously not doing his media. You know, Kyrie Irving got a lot of attention. James Harden has not spoken to the press yet. There was a game last night. He still hasn't spoken to the press. He's in flagrant violation of the NBA's media rules. He has not been fined for that yet. There's been no fine sent down whatsoever. Doesn't mean he won't be at some point, but you know, they put out the new rules that you're not allowed to go in nightclubs, and the next two nights James Harden's in nightclubs. That is going to be a challenge for the NBA. For the players who have the antibodies, what sort of example are they going to set for their teammates and publicly as that goes forward?
And I hope that they're right, that having had it before does actually prevent you from getting it again, because the one thing we know about this virus is you think you know one thing about it, then you read something completely counter, and it's very confusing. And I just hope that there's, in fact, that light at the end of the tunnel. Brian, you always make me smarter. I love our chats. Thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate it. Let's chat down the line. You got it. Thank you. That's Brian Windhorst at Windhorst ESPN on both Twitter and Instagram. I truly love I say it every time. I'm like a broken record when he's on. He truly makes me smarter. He knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's talking about. And I guess during our conversation, Harden spoke, right?
Yes. Okay. During the conversation, James was speaking.
Okay, so then let's get our ducks in a row on that front and come back and have a very fascinating Chris Brockman news update.
Let's do it.
That's coming up right next on The Rich Eisen Show. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. Browns and Giants on Sunday Night Football flexed out of Niners-Cowboys. 2020 stories, I mean, that you never thought would be possible. That's one of them, and it's a compelling matchup. Both teams coming off of losses, both teams needing this one, both teams wanting to get back to the playoffs after drafting high up for many years in a row. Browns, Giants, we're going to drink our cup dry. Sunday Night Football on NBC. Now back in the booth with Chris Collinsworth on that one right there. Man, lots to talk about after what Brian Windhorst just dropped. And James Harden has spoken. He did, in fact, have a press conference literally as we were talking with Brian Windhorst. And so when the radio audience returns in a mere matter of seconds, that's when we'll be able to start unpacking this Rubik's Cube known as James Harden and the Houston Rockets and what to do with him and for him and what he wants to have done on his behalf. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. All right, I was able to check out in the commercial break a little bit of Harden at a podium.
Yep.
And he doesn't look like he wants to be there talking. And
he really doesn't.
Well, I mean, he's probably not very pleased with everything being mentioned about him. I'm sure he feels that he's being misunderstood. I don't. You know what? I've never met the guy. I shouldn't even proclaim to know what he's thinking. or proclaim to talk for him. Life for James Harden is exactly, you know, is probably much better than most. You know? Yeah.
So, especially when you're taking private jets to Las Vegas all the time.
Well, you know, that didn't surprise me.
No, me neither.
Because
we've all heard the rumors for years about
it's just what James amazing.
Does on
it's amazing that, you know, when the pandemic first started, okay, what was the one thing we all talked about on this show? At the beginning of the pandemic when there was no sports to talk about, what was the thing that we talked about? Every single Monday and Tuesday for sure on this show. Like it was a live sporting event. It was The Last Dance. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All we talked about.
Save this.
And it was people went nuts when Jordan, in the middle of a playoff series against the Knicks, went down to Atlantic City.
Blew off some steam.
And it was, you know, gambling problem, this, that, the other thing. He went down to Atlantic City. This is age-old stuff. It's just now we're finding out.
Yeah,
we're finding out that Harden would tell the Rockets, "We're not leaving from Los Angeles when it's over. When the game's over, we're not leaving from L.A. We're staying
an
extra day." Yeah. And then could you imagine like you're a player, a teammate of Harden's, right? And you are going to a city next that your family's at, for instance. And you're thinking, I'm just throwing this out here. This had to have happened. I'm going to go see mom and dad. I'm going to go see my aunt, my uncle, my grandparents or whoever. I'm going to go see an old coach. I'm going to go all do this. And I'll do that in the morning because I know our shoot-arounds are always at this time.
Right.
And I'm going to go in the morning. I'm going to go do it because I'm going to do the shoot-around. I'll be figured out. I'm going to get to sleep. You know, we'll fly there tonight. We'll get there. I'll wake up in the morning. I can get this in before the shoot-around, before the game, and all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, no, we're not going. Why? James wants to party. Honestly, you know.
No, that all really happened.
I'm just throwing it out.
It's real.
Here. And so when you find out, like, okay, and then James wants to party, and you're probably like, what the hell, right? Like, hey, coach, like, who's in charge here? And then, you know, it's time, and you're just pissed at the, you know, you're pissed about this, pissed about that. But Harden shows up, and he drops 50. Okay. James, love you, man. This was amazing. You know, but and that thing kind of builds up, right? And I don't know if James goes up to people and says, "Hey, this is what we're going to do." Or so honestly, it might not be a surprise to somebody. This is on the outside looking in, assuming what might be happening. But this is also not just Harden; it's a bunch of other people. And again, we were just we were just flipping out that Jordan would go down to Atlantic City, hoot with the Owls, you know, rather than that's what Rod Woodson always told me. When you hoot with the Owls, you cannot soar with the Eagles. That was his phrase. He would always say. And he, you know, so when players, his teammates would hoot with the Owls, it would piss him off. I guess that's why he's got a bust in the Hall of Fame. I mean, James will be in the Naismith Hall of Fame when it's all said and done anyway, which is the point. He's got all this money. He just wants to do whatever he wants to do. And the question is, will he be able to get his exit visa that he wants? And that was asked of him. Ready for your news update, Christopher?
Yeah, let's
get to Chris Brockman's news update right here on the Rich Eisen Show. As we were talking to Brian Windhorst, James Harden spoke for the first time since all of this was made known.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, what do you got over there, Chris?
Yeah, let's just lead with James Harden. So he had a Zoom media session this afternoon while we were talking to Brian Windhorst, and he was asked about that trade request.
Do you still want the Rockets to trade you? And if so, why?
Right now, I'm just focused on being here. You know, today was good. Yesterday felt really good being out there, you know, first time in since the bubble. I haven't really had an opportunity to do a lot of 5-on-5 work, but for my first time being out there, I think I felt pretty good. So
he's just focused on being there.
Focused on being here.
All right. I mean,
he was.
Awkward. There's just no other way to put it. You know.
He was also asked what was the purpose of his trips to Atlanta and Las Vegas while the Rockets were, you know, his teammates were having training camp. He said, I was just training. What was he training for? The NBA season.
Right. Right. And he said the reason why he was in Atlanta and Vegas training for the NBA season rather than with his teammates in Houston was his own personal trainers.
That's where his personal trainers were. Yeah.
Guy wants out. I mean, let's... you know, all reports say it. His body language expresses it. He wants out. And who's going to go get him? I mean, Windhorst just expressed it perfectly. And for those who might just be joining us right here, or if you're viewing this later on another format and on Twitter or YouTube, I'll just reset it right here for that purpose, is that, you know, Harden's got 2 years left on a contract. A team would have to extend him. They'd have to extend him into his mid-30s. He could maybe go to a spot where he doesn't want to go and play a la Kawhi in Toronto. Works out great. You can win a championship there, and then you can have your exit visas go wherever you want to go. But if you're a team like the Heat, you know, would you – and the interesting thing is – Windhorst said he thinks this will get done. Because as he brought up in the conversation about Giannis re-signing in Milwaukee and him re-signing a year earlier, which, as he said, you don't usually see in the modern NBA because he gave up his optionality, is the phrase that he used. Could have signed this contract in free agency, and he gave up his optionality by signing this contract this year rather than next year. And then I pointed out, does that mean if he's so unlike other NBA players, Giannis, does that mean we won't be seeing him at some point early on in this contract demanding a trade anyway? And he pointed out that in entertainment, the contract is over when the high-priced talent says it's over, which means I'm not in the entertainment industry. But in all seriousness...
It was 17 years ago, Rich.
In all seriousness, you know... Would you, for Harden, you know, get him now? Why would you, if you're Miami, trade Tyler Hero for him? I wouldn't do that in a million years. I wouldn't do it in a million years. No thanks. And I heard in New York, like, you know, all NBA teams know what's going on with Harden. They might not have known, like, the inner details that are in this Tim McMahon story on ESPN that we keep referring to. They may not know the exact, you know, moment where Westbrook and Harden were upset at each other and how they were upset at each other. And the same thing with Chris Paul and Chris Paul's demands on D'Antoni that fell on deaf ears and that created the issue with Paul and Harden. And Harden wanted him out and they obliged and they got Russell and all of that business. Those minute small details may not be known. But, you know, NBA front offices know when a player, you know, usually flies off to Vegas or has the, you know, optionality, to use the phrase, of going somewhere in between expanded days off and things of that nature. I mean, they know that. And they know how hard charging somebody is if they're partying. You know, they also obviously see Harden show up and ball out. So if I'm somebody, though, I would, really, would you bring somebody who loves to go out and hit it, you know, and at some point when you turn 35, 36, I can personally attest as a 51-year-old, I'm not a world-class athlete. These things will catch up. They will.
For sure.
So you will want to bring somebody on that you know by age 35, 36 is going to be making a ton of money, might break down potentially, physically. You'll bring that person to South Beach? Honestly, if you're going to go all in because you do need to make a splash when Durant and Kyrie are winning all these games across the East River, you know, you bring Harden in the city that never sleeps. That's the that, you know, that's the phrase of the Big Apple. You know, you'd have to think twice. Here's the sound bite that we were referring to moments ago.
James, what was the point that you were trying to get across when you went to Atlanta and Vegas when training camp was starting?
I was just training.
What were you training for?
The start of the NBA season.
How did going to Atlanta and Vegas help you there when the Rockets were starting training camp in Houston?
Just you know, my personal trainers.
Okay. No, again, and you know, obviously that's a particular particulate in telling us that it's raining. I mean, we obviously know part of the reasons
videos
why. No, I know
pictures.
That, but
like,
you know, I'm sure
he posted.
But if you're somebody who can go out and party, you know, like that, and then perform at an absurdly high level.
Right.
That's part of your process. Like, that's course. Not a. So why would you think that's a bad thing? Like, right. I can get an extra weekend with my personal trainers. And, like, literally, he's been living his life cake eating and having the world, too. Like, that's literally what he's been doing. And he's made an absurd amount of cake in that process. So why should he feel this is anything wrong? I'm just thinking that at some point, the sands run through the hourglass, and that's going to catch up to you. Like, suddenly, that way of living will no longer be the manner in which you can also ball out. And do you want to be the organization that's on the hook for gajillions of dollars when that moment hits? You know, we're still waiting for the diminishing returns moments for Brady and stuff like that. He doesn't live, you know, he's not partying or anything like that. But I'm just saying that it's rare for an older athlete to continue to keep balling out at such a high level that you do need a certain, like Brady would not be playing at age 44 right now if it wasn't for the TB12 method, right?
Right, right, right.
That the way Breeze does what he does, he's not going to be the organization's hope to beat the Kansas City Chiefs if he's not going through the regimen that he's constantly living 24/7, 365. So do you want to be on the hook just if you're Pat Riley to win maybe this year and next when you can be winning with Tyler Hero long after he's retired, when he's you know, Miami Heat front office emeritus? You know, I mean, why would you do it? I don't know. Again, I'm also the guy that wouldn't break it up for Giannis, and you're hearing everybody else is breaking everything up for Giannis or was planning to. So,
are we overvaluing Tyler Hero a little bit? Like, you're saying, no, you wouldn't trade him for Giannis. You wouldn't trade him for James Harden. That means that that this kid is going to be.
He's 20 years old.
Two of the greatest basketball players right now, and you're saying you wouldn't give either of them up for Tyler?
I wouldn't. For Tyler Hero, it would have been, for instance, for Giannis, it would have been Hero and somebody else. Probably Adebayo, right? For Giannis.
You would assume, right? Yeah. Maybe more than
it's
that.
It's definitely not a one-for-one. Hero's included in the
package.
Right,
you're breaking up your team.
Picks, and maybe another player or two.
I don't know, man.
It just seems like with James, there's a whole lot of off the court baggage.
I know that Harden will get bashed of saying, you know, hey, I was in Vegas working out. He probably was. Like, I'm sure.
Probably.
I know that's
probably
what he was doing. We also saw what else he was doing.
Right.
And if this article showed you, this is the way he goes about his business, figurative and literal.
And it's not a new thing. He's been doing this
years. He's been terrific.
Yeah.
And you're not that great at basketball unless you put a lot of work into your game.
So, you know,
I know.
That's what I'm saying. He's going to get bashed for that. But again, it's not like when he was partying in Vegas, like that's what he was doing all day, like the hangover. You know what I mean? Like,
He was in the gym, we're sure.
Dude, I'm telling you, just to repeat again, I talked about that one time I did a Thanksgiving morning show hungover. It just was something that got out of control the night before. And when I got through the show, I swore to myself I would never do that again. Never. And it doesn't matter how much fun I'm having or if it was, you know, a membership of the NFL being the one pouring and by the way. Fantastic wine. I mean, just, oh my God. The juice was A+. So, but I swore to myself, I just won't, I shouldn't do it again. I won't do it again. And I can't imagine, you know, being an NBA all-star, elite, world-class player doing this. You know, I as an owner wouldn't want to be on the hook 3 years, you know, 150 mil. When all of a sudden somebody's got to knock on the door and get James up because suddenly the rebound figurative doesn't come as easy anymore.
He is only 31, though.
I hear you.
And these guys are different. They're different.
But the one thing that Windhorst said, and then we'll take a break and take phone calls to finish up the show. One thing that Windhorst said is that despite all of what we're talking about, and what people will be up in arms about, and certainly this soundbite will invite, it's going to get done.
Yeah, the deal's happening.
The guy, he's Windhorst is like, you know, after caveat upon caveat upon caveat, and concern upon red flag, and concern on top of a red flag, times a caveat, oh yeah, it'll get done. Which is why Harden goes to Vegas and Atlanta to work out. Because it all does eventually work out for him.
Right.
I'm just saying I wouldn't want to be the organization to be on the hook the minute the diminishing returns hits and we all realize it's not working out. Take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on The Rich Eisen Show.
This week on Jaws Picks with Ron Jaworski, Peyton Manning.
This is Ron Jaworski. Today I am joined by legendary quarterback Peyton Manning. You know, in Philadelphia, Carson Wentz had a run of like 4 years of playing terrific quarterback, and all of a sudden he gets benched. How surprised are you by that?
It's probably a good year that there aren't many fans allowed at Philly Stadium when you agree.
You're right about that. Have you ever given thought about possibly becoming an NFL owner or a general manager of an NFL team? I've always envisioned you in that role.
Yeah, Josh, I mean, I keep looking for that $3 billion, but I can't find it. It must be in another account that I'm not aware of. So,
hey, I got a C note in my pocket. I'll invest.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, we'll form a group.
Download new episodes of Jaws Picks with Ron Jaworski every Wednesday and Friday on Podcast One and all your favorite podcasting platforms.
So are we going to do an NBA fantasy league with an NBC Sports on Peacock? Because I've got to call Florio and invite him. Are we going to do this?
Yes. I thought you did that yesterday.
No, I, dude, yesterday just got a little out of hand.
No, all good. Gotcha. But yes, please invite him and Chris Sims. Ask both of them.
Okay.
Because Michael Holly said he's in.
Because
McLovin's in.
Okay, for the Dan Patrick show.
And so we're going to try to get and Michael Smith as well.
Okay. So,
some synergy, Rich.
No, I understand that. And you're like, Florio wouldn't want it. I'm like, how do we not know?
I don't know. I mean, maybe I didn't. I just don't take him as a hooper.
How do you know?
I don't know.
Maybe he's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Kevin Sims.
I don't know.
Maybe he's a big Pitsnoggle guy.
That's what I'm saying.
Kevin Pitsnoggle?
He's one of the best West Virginia basketball players.
Huggy Bear.
He's the one who helped put Beilein on the map.
Yeah.
And that's where Michigan went, and let's get a little bit of Pitsnoggle here in Michigan.
He was so good, that tourney. Oh,
know.
My goodness.
Yeah, wasn't he?
Oh, my gosh.
I just remember him.
You know, so we'll do that back here on The Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah, we're totally going to do it.
Which is an NBA fantasy league with everybody from the NBC Sports on Peacock lineup in some way, shape, or form.
That's what I'm saying.
We are
recognized.
Family.
We have two confirmed. Michael Holly in.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Andrew Perloff McLovin in.
Okay.
So we need you.
And then
to make,
there's you.
And then there's me.
And then there's you, TJ.
TJ,
that's
Adam.
Four. Adam in the back is five.
Don.
Don Bowie, six.
You.
Seven.
With a Cooper slash co-ownership.
I think Coop will be involved, yes.
And I think if you can get Mike or Chris Sims, that gives us eight or nine. That gives us eight or nine. Boop.
Well, we got to have 10, don't you?
You don't need. We're going to do rotisserie, so we don't need.
Explain
even
to me. I've never really been in a fan. Right now, Xander's is a head like a week to week.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah. I'm not down with that. Rotisserie is kind of an old school baseball fantasy term, so it's just like categories,
season long.
And if you're in first, then you get the max points for that category.
It's still a week by week thing, but
what do you mean? It's a week?
It's just the whole season, but it's rotisserie. So the standings could change every day based on how your players performed.
All right.
It's the way to go.
It's going to be fun.
It's less.
So let me ask
you
this question. Top five, do you take Harden? He's sitting there?
I am not going to take James Harden.
Right?
If I'm number five and he's there?
Yeah, maybe if I'm a number five, I'm not going to take him 1, 2, 3.
He was ranked in the Yahoo League that Xander was involved in. 1. Numero uno.
How was Giannis or Luka or LeBron not number one?
It went Harden and then Luka and then Anthony Davis and then Giannis.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I won't argue that.
That's what it was in the fantasy league. I think I remember. And so Zan was fifth and he grabbed Tatum.
Yeah. By the way, I'm calling Tatum right now. If any of you take him, I will be pissed.
So we'll take Tatum.
All right.
If I'm number one, I'm taking
Tatum. Let me go ahead and note that and hope you get number one.
Let's go to Jason in Miami. You're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jason?
Rich, what's going on? What's going on, guys?
How are you, Jay?
Jason? What's up? Thanks for holding on as long as you did. Appreciate
no problem. Got to keep the greatest hits going on, Jeff and Kathy. You know, I hope that I'm in that.
Okay, very good. Terrific. It's
as far as we go back, Rich.
Great.
While I'm on hold, it's funny because I call and I have a topic. And then I hold, and then you got so many nuggets that you throw out. And
sure.
A whole bunch of different ideas in my head. So a couple of things. First of all, I'm surprised to know that you watch the games on Sunday at home. I would think that, you know, with that studio and Mike and all of the guys, that you would have a big party in there watching.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, normally I would watch the games. There is a huge screening room at NFL Network for the staff to watch, but with everything going on this year, I just get out of Dodge right after the show and come home. You know what I mean? There's just too much happening in the world. So
be with family.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Rich, so you already know I'm a Cowboys fan and I'm all about stacking L's, so I'm not even going to go there today. But, you know, I have taken some joy and watched the Eagles stack some L's. Now, obviously, with last week, you know, Jalen Hurts, which scares me a little bit, especially if he keeps performing like he has, but let's say he does. And then, you know, you guys were talking about quarterbacks, Matt Stafford. I know Jeff from Detroit. First of all, Jeff from Detroit, he sounds like he's ready to get Stafford out of there. Stafford. I like Stafford going to New England. Love that.
So does
I'm not
Brockman.
A New England fan.
By the way, you're talking Brockman's language.
Been
he wants him
years.
In the worst way in New England.
Yeah, I think that would be a good match. And Wentz, send him to Chicago.
Oh,
you know, then went to Chicago and let them worry.
Isn't he just Trubisky?
I was about to say, no.
Without the contract?
He'd go from frying pan into fire, wouldn't he? Oh. Literally,
yeah,
Philadelphia
so Chicago,
to Chicago.
So they don't know anything about quarterbacks. So, you know, just give it a try.
Thanks for the call, Jason. I appreciate it. Thank you. Jason in Miami stepping it up. Can you imagine Wentz in Chicago? Can you imagine? Matt Nagy telling him, be you, and he basically would be like, that's what I have been doing in Philadelphia. Now I'm here in Chicago after being me. Bobby in Boca Raton, Florida. What's up, Bobby? How are you?
How you guys doing?
What's going on, Bobby? You've been holding on a long time, so appreciate it.
I got two quick things. One, I guess now you could use your basketball fantasy. In lieu of your tweets on Monday night, I think a good team name would be Going for Two.
Got it. We know what the avatar is.
And then I think that there's not enough talk about Xavien Howard being the defensive player of the year. He's had 5 picks, 5 straight games, 9 picks on the year total, covering the top guy on every single team.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill last week. I think that he should be up there in the conversation with TJ Watt.
Tyreek scored twice, Bobby.
One was on him. And that was because the safety went down to blitz on the in-route.
Okay. All right, look at you. Like, you're baldy. You got all 32 up on the screen right there.
I got 2 hours on the line to figure that one out.
No, I got you. Look, man, I appreciate your fandom. And, you know, obviously Howard's an interesting name, and he has been playing very well. This is a TJ Watt, Aaron Donald award. I think we're coming down here with down the stretch we come on the outside gaining ground is Chase Young in a particular way right now, who has been dynamite I mean, dynamite. But it's one of those situations. Thanks for the call. It might be just like, let's give him defensive rookie of the year. He's got time. He's got time.
He's going to be great.
He's got time, but
he's going to be great.
OMG, is he game-changing?
Like we said the other day, he is a man.
Who's the best young Ohio State defensive lineman?
You know what?
The Bosa brothers or Chase Young?
Okay, there's many things I would not like to discuss. That's one of the top ones. One of the top ones, Chris.
Ohio State standout. It just came to me.
Again. There's many things, like, you know, if you noticed, when Brian Griese was on, didn't touch on current Michigan, just went the old days of yore, 97.
Yep.
Hey, you
met that work.
You know, Tom Brady was on your, you know, he was a young kid, just arrived, and Charles Woodson was winning the Heisman, and Hutch is going in the hall, and you're in the Monday Night booth, and that's where I went with that one.
But Nick, Joey, or Chase? Who are you building around?
I tell you what, Brockman, if we have three picks, whichever one you guys don't take, I'll gladly take on my team.
Yeah, right.
And we'll leave it at that.
Oh, man.
Chase Young is beginning to drop the huggies, to use the Parcells phrase that he always used when rookies became grown men. He is dropping his huggies, and he's leaving it all over the place. He left it all over the turf in Arizona.
I mean, he basically single-handedly won that
game. He wrapped it up. You know, when his teammate was coming in and not ready for the ultimate prime time as Dwayne Haskins. He's still learning, man.
Yeah, he is.
Any word on Alex Smith?
He practiced today.
Okay, that's good news. By the way, Frank Ragnow, speaking of former Michigan Wolverine
National
Football
League. Have you seen this?
Well, I mean, when you look at Twitter and you're wondering, why is fractured throat trending?
Unbelievable.
Frank Ragnow is out for the Lions.
So he's their center.
He's got a fractured throat.
Yeah. Suffered it in the first quarter and finished the game.
How does one fracture a throat?
You get chopped in the neck.
No. I know that. But doesn't fracture means there's a bone? Is there a bone in your throat that could be broken other than hopefully not your spinal cord?
Yeah. It's got to be the cartilage.
What the hell? First of all, I'm learning how many ribs there are in a human body thanks to Drew Brees breaking every damn last one of them. And now I'm wondering, how can you fracture a throat?
That's a first. That's the first I've heard of that.
I hear you. Great show, everybody. Great show.
Today was fun.
It was fun, and that's because you followed the Rich Eisen Show Ghost Protocols.
Do you want to hear what Adam Gase said today, Rich?
I'm
just going to read you the quote.
Want to send him home mad?
Yeah.
So he was asked if he feels like he's let down.
Yes.
Christopher Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah. He says, yes, you try to figure out where things went wrong and what we can change. It's like you're trying to evaluate things as you go and adjust. But at the end of the day, it's about winning.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't done that.
Right.
For him not to feel that playoff feel of being competitive in December, it's disappointing to me that we haven't been able to do that for him.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what that sounds like to me?
What's that?
I don't care. I'll say it. Sounds like to me all those people going on Fox News hoping for a pardon right now. Talking up the boss, hoping for that pardon.
Tell him how you feel, son.
Ain't coming. That's not coming.
Speaking of that, did you see the Saturday Night Live skit?
Yeah.
Sports Max.
I saw it.
Jets.
I know. Been rough week. As if the Jets haven't been kicked in the nads enough. You know,
your time's coming, Rich.
Thank you. And it's the flowing mane, and I don't mean Kenny.
An Adonis.
I'm talking about Trevor. Just three more games. Thank you, Don. You know how to finish up strong. Thank you for putting that photograph.
Honestly, the Jets should let you announce the pick.
Oh, could you imagine?
No, they should
let you announce the pick.
I want to hear it from Roger Goodell's mouth. That's the way it's going to roll.
Rich might not believe it's real if he says it.
Yeah, it'll be like that time. Like somebody read out Moonlight, right? Instead of La La Land.
Other way around.
All right, whatever.
Warren Beatty.
We'll see you on Thursday's show, everybody.